Father, we love you, we praise you, we honor you in this great place called Calvary Fort Worth, Lord. I am so thankful for each and every person that's in this chapel, in the other area of the building, and Lord God, for those that have tuned in live for this service. I pray in the name of Jesus on this first Sunday of 2016 that you touch every heart, as I know you will. Lord, I know you'll touch their hearts, but you only touch listening hearts. Hearts that really are eager to hear your word, that are excited to hear your word, that want to hear your word. So, Lord, let your grace and your love open all of our hearts right now. Oh, Lord, and let our ears be open to hear the great truths from your word. We praise you and honor you, Lord. I pray you touch everyone here. I know there are those that are present even now, their heart is broken. Those that they've lost their loved ones, oh God, I believe in Jesus' name that you'll manifest your peace and your grace and your healing to them right now. Now, Lord, use me. Use me for your glory, oh Lord, and let me boldly speak your truth in love to the sheep of your pasture. We love you, we praise you, we honor you in this place. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church says, amen. Let's turn this morning for our New Year's sermon to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7, and I'll be there in just a moment. You know, I am so glad that 2015 is behind us. Amen. Last year, the word that God had given us was the year of divine or his divine determination, living in our hearts, setting our face toward the high calling of Jesus Christ, and looking unto the author, the finisher of our faith. I'm so glad that that year is now behind us. And matter of fact, why don't we leave all the hurt and the pain and what might have been, the could have been, and should have been, why don't we just leave it back there? Because we can't change one thing that happened in 2015, amen? But we can change many things that lie before us in 2016. Now, with all that being said, now here we are, it's our New Year's sermon, and I often ask this, Bill, why do you do that? Well, you know, after I became a believer, I just started asking the Lord. I said, Lord, it's a new year. What is there anything special or a word you want to give me? And so even before I was a pastor, I would pray that. And then when I became a pastor, I would always do the same and share it with the church. And, you know, I look back the last 23 years or whatever it's been here, and I went and looked at all the New Year's messages, and I thought, oh, God. It isn't easy to look back and see how right God is. But when you're in the midst of something, you say, God, where are you? Well, the Lord has never been wrong. I pray that your hearts are open to this word, because I'll tell you, I feel, if you don't mind me saying this, it's not a sign of a lack of faith or any of those things. But there is a way, in a way, just like I told the early service, that I feel a little bit like Peter. I'm not comparing myself to Peter or anything like that. But that I hear the voice of the Lord saying, come on out, Bill. You know, step up on the water. Go, come and walk in a place you have never been before. And the truth of the matter is that in my flesh, I would rather stay in the boat than sometimes step out and do what I'm doing now. But is it with great faith and peace and so forth that I'm doing so? See, there's always in all of us, in every pastor, there's always that I want to play it safe. Do you understand? Because, you know, who wants to walk out on the water? You know, I mean, if I just started walking and just kept walking through, you'd go, oh my goodness, wouldn't you? This side's asleep. Just, you know. No, listen. No, the thing is that, you know, I could just be in Acts chapter 12 this morning. That's where I'm supposed to be because we're teaching through the book of Acts. But this is our New Year's sermon. I want to say something. I am a pastor teacher. I am not in any way a prophet of God. Amen? And so, but I'm going to share things with you concerning only this body, concerning Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, sharing things that are yet future for us. When you study out God's word, you find that it abounds over and over with so many promises of God's help to our lives. Amen? To those that love the Lord, to those that are called according to his purpose, to those that are following Jesus and walking and with him. You know, the word helper is a word that has been ascribed to the Holy Spirit of God. He's our divine helper, the divine helper of every believer. He's a divine helper of the church. He's not a language or a force or an essence. He is a person who loves us. He's a spirit of truth who leads us into all truth. I'm so thankful for him. And here he is among us right now, and I know that he's helping me. The psalmist has cried out in Psalm 54:4. He says, "The Lord God is my helper." It's personal. You know, there is not a minute, you know it and I know it, if you are a believer, there's not a minute that God is not helping us. We don't see it, but he's helping us, amen? And every second that he is with us, even though when the end comes and says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thy rod, thy staff, you comfort me," meaning the Lord is with you every step of the way. The Bible tells us in Psalm 48:14, it says that or is it Isaiah? No, it's Psalms. I don't really remember. The cheese just slid off the cracker. The first service got all of it. I don't know the second service, okay? But it says he is our guide even unto death. So I look and I say, "Oh Lord, you are my helper. You will always be my helper. And whenever I am faithless, you will always remain faithful in my life." The psalmist has cried out, "Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help." Amen? For his help, the God of Jacob. I'm so glad I can say, yes, not only the God of Jacob, but Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is our Father, and he is here. He is here to always help us. The Bible tells us in Psalm 121:1, it tells us, it says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help." Where are you looking for your help at in 2016? Oh, it's important. What are you planning? Are you planning something without God? It's best to plan everything with God. Amen? He says, "I lift up my eyes, O Lord, unto the hills whence cometh my help." And he goes on and he cries out. He says, "For my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Our help is not found in some high hill. It's found in heaven. Amen. I'm so thankful that we know that. And whatever we keep our eye on, whatever you keep your eye on in 2016, you'll find that to be the source of your help. I pray, as a psalmist did in Psalm 25, he says, "My eye is forever upon the Lord." Amen? And that's what we make sure that we're doing that. It tells us in Hebrews 4:16, you know the scripture as well as I do. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly," that fearless confidence, "come boldly to the throne of grace." That's a wonderful place to go to. Did you go there this morning? I pray that you did. And the reason that we go there, it tells us that we may obtain mercy and find what? Help. You need help? We know where to find it. Help in time of need. And also it says that we can obtain it. So we have access to the throne room of help. Now listen carefully. It was December the 2nd. It was a Wednesday night. I was teaching from 1 Samuel chapter 7. We're going to do a little review of that in just a moment. If I told you the many events that occurred 1 hour before I taught that message, you wouldn't believe me. The things and the people that literally tried to prevent me from entering the pulpit. And it was only by God's grace that I did. And I realized that the reason that was so important for me to enter the pulpit, because the Lord was going to speak to me during the sermon. And see, the devil always tries to stop you. Do you understand? And the devil, it wasn't him personally, he uses people, doesn't he? Yes. And so there I was. I took the pulpit and so forth. And it was on that night, during the teaching of 1 Samuel 7, where I thought I received exact the word for the year, for 2016. Because as you know, many of every year I begin praying around November, say, "Lord, is there a word, a specific word for this body and for me in my life? If it is, Lord, speak it to me. Show me what you would have me to know and to hear." So let's look at 1 Samuel 7 just for a moment, And let's remember that as we do, we find Israel there quickly. They're defeated. They're discouraged. They're despondent. Man, they're in all kinds of trouble. The Philistines have just wiped out about 34,000 of them. God has wiped out 50,000 because they looked into the Ark of the Covenant. And Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, are dead. And the high priest of Israel, Eli, he is dead. Okay, so the Philistines, who had captured the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God, they said, you know, remember the tumors that broke out on them and all that? And the God, they said, we don't want this ark. And get rid of it. They sent it back to Israel, beginning now in verse 1. Then the men of Kirjath-Jearim, they came, they took the ark of the Lord. They brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill, consecrated Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. Now, that's all he did. He kept it. There were no sacrifices. Remember, Ichabod, God, the glory had departed from Israel, okay? So now he goes on and says, and so it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. Look how long it was there. It was there 20 years, and all of the house of Israel, they mourned, they grieved, they lamented after the Lord. Now listen carefully. Between verse 1 and verse 2, here's what you find. To those people, the children of Israel, they had 20 years of silence from God. Samuel the prophet never said a word, or if it wasn't recorded. And not only that, it was a time of deep emptiness for the children of Israel. And here they are, 20 years of wasted life. Every man, every woman, every child, they were not serving God. And there they were grieving for the Lord, but they were grieving for God, but they weren't grieving enough because they refused to put the idols out of their homes and off away from their lives. So it says in verse 3, Samuel spoke to the house of Israel saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, put away the foreign gods, the Ashtaroths, from among you. Prepare your hearts for the Lord, serve him only. He'll deliver you. He'll rescue you. He'll help you. So the children of Israel, what did they obeyed Samuel, okay? They put away all of the idols and so forth. And Samuel gathered all of Israel to, what's that word? Mitzpah. That's a very important word. Say that with me. Mitzpah. Now, they drew water. They poured it out before the Lord. That's a symbol of like tears coming from their eyes, a national repentance. They fasted and they said, oh, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when Israel, the children of Israel, heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord, our God, for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. And so Samuel took a suckling lamb. And it says, and he offered as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel. And look what the Lord did. The Lord answered him. And now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them, put them into a panic, if you will, that they were overcome before Israel. And when the men of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as Beth-Kar, so a victory after 20 years of living in defeat, then Samuel took a what? A stone. He took a stone. He set it up. He set it up in the field between Mizpah and Shin, and he called its name Ebenezer, the stone of help, or the stone of God's help, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. 20 years earlier on this very battlefield, I've already told you, the Philistines killed 34,000 of the children of Israel. That's when they captured the ark. And now they have victory. So what does Samuel do? There in the field between Mizpah and Shin, he sets up a mighty rock, a mighty stone, if you will. And he says, God, this is the stone of your help. I never, ever want to forget. This is a monument. So the children of Israel will never forget how you have helped us this day. What a wonderful thing to do, amen, is to remember all that God has done for us. So it caused a new beginning after 20 years, if you will, for the children of Israel. You know what? Maybe 2015, you lived in utter defeat. Maybe 2014 also, maybe even 2013. Maybe it's just been 5 or 10 years of solid defeat in your life. You still love God. You don't know what's going on. Let me tell you that this year, let's end your defeat and let you walk in victory. Amen. That's what God wants. He loves you. He cares for you. He's going to help you. Amen. Now, with all that being said, look at those words again. It says, when he set up the, he called it Ebenezer, saying, thus far, right up to this moment, right up to this spot, up to this point, or till now, the Lord has helped us. You know what? You look back, Christian, in your life, the Lord has helped you every day. Amen. He's always there. He's always helping us. Now, sometimes his help, of course, is not seen. It's not even felt. But we know that he is helping us. Now, listen very carefully. It would be very easy this morning for your pastor to just say, you know what? Here's the 2016 word for this year. Ebenezer, our stone of help. That's it. There you go. 2016, the year of God's help. That'd be very easy to say, wouldn't it? The reason I say that is because it's scriptural. I mean, I would be so safe by saying that because we have God's help every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every year. If we live to be in 2018, if the Lord tarries, will we have God's help then? Yeah, so, you know, Bill, that's an easy. In other words, I could say I'm rightly dividing the word of God. I'm teaching sound, healthy doctrine. No one could dispute it if I said, you know what? God is going to be our helper in 2016. That's a given. We could all leave right now and go to Luby's and eat. Amen? Yeah, because it's a given. And you say, well, Bill, that's good. I know he's my help. Well, before I go on, would you grant me the liberty if I could just pause with maybe a question? When you read and study the 66 books of the Bible, and you look and see how God has helped the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, do you say in your heart, do you believe in your heart that all of those mighty acts of help were only for those long ago, but they're not really for me today? Are we here and saying, no, you know, we have the 66 books of the Bible, and thank God we do, and that's a closed canon, and I agree with that. It certainly is closed. You know, no one's writing new scripture, amen? That's right. Beware of those who do, all right? Now, but when I look at that, I say, okay, well, is that not for us today? Lord, you know, I know you're helping us, but man, all the things that you did in the Old Testament, the New Testament, you know, may I share with you, before I talk to you again about 1 Samuel, may I share with you a few scriptures from the Word of God? Listen carefully as I read. You remember in 1 Kings chapter 17, you remember King Ahab and Jezebel, were they wicked? Oh, man, those were the most wicked people in the Word of God, okay? And remember what happened. Elijah goes up to King Ahab, and he says, listen, he prophesies. He says, there's not going to be dew from heaven. There's not going to be any rain in all these years in all the land of Israel except at my word. In other words, when I say it's time to rain, then it's going to rain because God told him. Now, listen to what happens. It says in 1 Kings 17:2, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, Elijah, get away from here. In other words, King James Version says, go hide yourself. And he says, and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of God, for he went and stayed at the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And the ravens brought Elijah bread and meat in the morning, and brought him bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Do you believe that? When's the last time that happened to you? Listen, if God said that to you, if he said that to me, Bill, no more Domino's pizza. You know, you're getting ready to go hide yourself. There's a brook way out there that flows into the Jordan. You better get out there right now. Don't worry. I'm going to help you. I'm going to take food to you. And he says, but I, the way I'm going to do it, I'm going to just send, a drone, you know, the birds. Would that stretch your faith? You mean, God, You want me to go out there and hide, and you're telling me not to take any provision with me. You're going to help me, and you've commanded the ravens of all people, those unclean birds, to take me food. Just only breakfast and dinner, no snack, no lunch. I mean, I would be a little bit concerned. Can you imagine being Elijah for a moment? And there you are by the brook Cherith that flows into the Jordan. It's early in the morning, and you look out way in the distance, and you see these birds flying toward you. They fly down right in front of you. They drop off the bread. They drop off the meat, and then they leave. Your provision, God has just helped you. Is that supernatural? That is very, well, look, the brook is not supernatural. It was there. But the command, a bird to bring you lunch and dinner, that is supernatural. Amen? Now, isn't it amazing that Elijah was able to see the manifested visual help of God's promise? He saw it right there before his very eyes. Man, and then you know what happened. You know, well, no, let me say something else. What I've learned in my life, wherever God appoints you, the place that he says, this is where I want you to be. If he sends you there, that's where you're going to be provided for. Amen? There's no doubt about it. Now, you know what happened. The next verse says that the brook slowly dried up. In other words, his provision of water, it dried up because there was no rain, because God said, you know, there would be no rain in the land. You know, you may be here this morning and say, you know what, 2015 not only dried me up, I sat there, Bill, and I watched my provision. It was running full blast, and all of a sudden it was less and less and less and less. And then as it started running out, I even lost my job. I lost this or I lost that. I want you to know if that is you this morning. Your new place of provision, your new place of God's help is waiting for you. I know that when one stream dries up, God ignites another one to start flowing. Amen? And the reason I know that is we're a people that are planted beside the living waters. Amen? Plural. Now, the thing is that on this new place of provision that was waiting for you and the new place that was waiting for Elijah, remember what God commanded Elijah to do? He said, go down to Zarephath. There's a widow there, a widow. A widow, a broke widow. She's going to take care of you. Now, did that take faith? He goes down to the Zarephath, and there's a widow. And you know what? What was the widow doing? She had one meal left. One meal left. And he says, go cook me something. I'm paraphrasing right now. This is Bill Quinn's translation. Go cook me something. Give me some barbecue, you know, something. You know. And so she goes and says, are you kidding me? I have one provision of meal left for me and my son. We're going to eat it, then die. And you know the rest of the story. I don't have time to get into it. But the manifested vision of God's help there. How about in 2 Kings chapter 6, the king of Syria, they come with the chariots and with the horses and all the mighty men and all the soldiers, and they surround the entire city of Dothan where Elijah and his servant was staying. And it says in 2 Kings 6, 15, and when the servant, that's Elijah's servant, the servant of the man of God arose early, he went outside, and there was an army surrounding the city, horses, chariots. And his servant said to Elijah, oh, alas, my master, what shall we do? And so he answered, don't fear. Do not fear. Elijah wasn't denying the circumstances. He said, don't fear. He said, for those who are with us are more than those who were with them, meaning the army there of Syria. Now, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes, open my servant's eyes that he may see. And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses. It was full of chariots of fire all around Elijah. Is that unbelievable? He prayed for his servant, and he said, God, open his eyes up. Let him see what's really happening in the supernatural realm. Let him see into the unseen. Can you imagine his eyes probably got as large as saucers as he looked around and said, oh my, we're surrounded with God's help. Amen? Amen? Now listen, I will either be like Elijah, or we will be like Elijah's servant in 2016. In other words, you have two believers in God with two opposite views concerning the circumstances. One is operating in fear. The other, Elijah, of course, is operating in faith. God says to this church, I'm not talking about the church across the street. I'm talking about a specific word. God said, you know what? In 2016, I'm going to open your eyes. And there's a reason I'm going to open your eyes. I'm going to open your eyes and give you sight into the unseen, but it's only going to be seen by the eye of faith. Amen? That's the only way. The Bible tells us in Psalm 46:1, listen to this about God being our help. He's our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. The reason we won't is his help is here. Amen? Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains, now that, did you catch that? Even though the earth is gone. Here we are, goodbye earth, it's gone. This psalmist, earth, even if it's removed, even if the mountains be carried into the seas, he says, though the mountains even shake with its swelling, he says, I'm not afraid. Why wasn't he afraid? Because he saw into the unseen. Loved one, I'm going to tell you, that's what I call trouble when everything we know that is familiar is completely removed. Amen? Why did he do that? The reason he said he wasn't afraid is because he knew and believed that God's present help was more real than the trouble that he was experiencing. And that's what we need to understand as well. In 2 Kings 20, listen to this one. You remember King Hezekiah? There he was. He was sick. He was on his deathbed. God sends Isaiah the prophet to him. It says there Isaiah walks in and he says, thus saith the Lord to King Hezekiah. Here it is. Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. How would you like someone to knock on your door and say that to you? Prepare for death. You know where your will is located? Have you got everything in order? Have you said your goodbyes? That's what Isaiah is saying to Hezekiah. And then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, oh, remember me now, O Lord, I pray, how I walk before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and I've done what is good in your sight. I hope I can say that on my deathbed. And Hezekiah, it says, wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him saying, Isaiah, return. Tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus saith the Lord God, the God of David, your father, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I'm going to heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I'll defend this city, my own sake, for the sake of my servant David. And then Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And so they took and they laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Now, if Isaiah had come to my door and told me, set your house in order, prepare to die, okay? And I saw him coming back, I don't think I would let him in the house. Are you understand? I mean, what more can you tell me? But he comes in and he's healed. And Hezekiah, listen to what he does. He says to Isaiah, oh, what is the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord on the third day? And Isaiah said, this is the sign from you, from the Lord, that the Lord will do a thing which he has spoken. Shall the shadow, we're talking about a sundial now, shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backward 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, it's an easy thing for the shadow to go down or forward 10 degrees, but let the shadow go back 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. Now listen, that is unbelievable. Are you listening to me? The provision that God just did for a man called Hezekiah, a man that's not a fairy tale, a man that is real. And so he says, well, you know, anybody, I can watch the sundial. I mean, I know the sun is moving right now. It's about 10 o'clock, but can you come back and make it 8 o'clock? Now, you do that. Now, why did God do that for him? Why did God do that? Why did God send ravens for Elijah? Why did he do any of those things? Well, Bill, he's helping. Yeah, but why? And I look and I say, Lord, you, there you are. Your help was seen. Your help was visible. It was a miracle to watch the sundial happen. In Acts chapter 12, remember Peter, the apostle. There he was. James had been killed by King Herod. And now he said, well, you know what? Everybody's rejoicing over that. I'm going to put Peter in prison. He puts Peter in prison. He sends out 16 guards to go get him, puts him in chains, puts him in prison, two guards on each side of him. And there, Peter at night, he's in the place sleeping. And listen to what happens. It says in Acts 12, 7, now behold, the angel of the Lord stood by Peter, and a light shone in prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And then the angel said to him, gird yourself up and tie on your sandals. Man, he's bossy, isn't he? Man, he said, and then he said to them, put on your garment, follow me. Boy, I go, yes, sir, you know. And he said, so he went out and followed him and did not know what was done by the angel that was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. And when they passed the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. How cool is that? And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. That is what I call help from God. Was that visible help? I mean, it was. He saw what was happening. He said, it can't even be real. It was a supernatural event. How about the Apostle Paul? I'm going to get back to 1 Samuel 7, but I'm doing this for a reason. How about the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 14? He's stoned by everyone and left for dead, and the disciples surround him. All of a sudden, Paul, I believe, was risen from the dead. And we get there in Acts chapter 16. Remember, we find Paul beaten severely. He and Silas, they're in the dungeon. They're in the stocks. They're singing hymns unto the Lord and giving thanks unto God at midnight. And then in Acts chapter 17, he has to flee a city, goes to Athens all by himself. He leaves and goes to Corinth. And there he is. Paul had been beaten so many times. I know he was discouraged. The greatest apostle that ever lived. Yes, he was discouraged, just like we all get at times. And it says in Acts 18:9, listen to what God did. Then the Lord, that's our Savior, Jesus. Then the Lord spoke to Paul in the night, and he did it by a vision. And he said, do not be afraid, but speak. Now listen carefully. Jesus would never have said to Paul, do not be afraid, unless Paul was afraid. Amen? It doesn't mean that he was walking in lack of faith. He loved the Lord. He was just, you can only be beat so many times. Did you know that? He was tired. He says, and Jesus says, oh, don't be afraid, Paul. Speak, and do not keep silent. And he tells him why. He says, for I am with you. Listen, Jesus, there in the vision, Paul sees our Lord. He looks at the resurrected, risen, ascended Christ. And Jesus said, Paul, I love you, man. Don't be afraid. Don't keep silent. I am with you. And all that I am with you. I'm here to help you, Paul. And he goes and he says, no one will attack you. Isn't that something? Paul, no one's going to attack you. He goes on, Jesus, and no one's going to hurt you, Paul, for I have many people in this city, meaning in Corinth, many people, meaning there's so many that need to be saved. And Paul continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. When I think of that moment, when I think of one of the greatest men that ever walked the face of this earth, Paul the Apostle, and there he was. He was so beaten down and so discouraged that God says, I got to help him. Jesus there appears to him in a vision and tells him all the things that's in his heart. No one's going to hurt you. No one's going to attack you. There's no more reason to be afraid, Paul. You do what I've called you to do. You know what I believe? I believe that the Bible teaches that sometimes that we are so down, that we're so discouraged, that God says, I manifest myself to those kind of people. The word manifest means to make real, to make alive. It means to be seen. And he says, you know what? I will not let my sheep, I will not let that man, my people suffer like that. I'm going to show up and I'm going to show you that I'm with you. I know you're hurting. I know that you're beat down. But Jesus said, I'm going to help you because I am with you. Amen. Boy, that's what God does. The Bible says in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, for I'm your God. I'll strengthen you. Yes, I'll help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Some of you might be saying, you that are at home listening, maybe in your car, wherever you might be, you in the chapel, you might be saying, you know, Bill, I think the cheese, you know, is really slid off the cracker when it comes to you. No, you might be saying right now, you know, well, God helped them. He helped the Old Testament saints and he helped the New Testament saints. And of course, who wouldn't want to help Paul? Look at him. The one who said for me to live, you know, is Christ, to die is gain. I haven't said that. No, that kind of help is over now. Really? James 1:17 says this, every good gift, perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. There's no ups and downs with God. His love for you today, he doesn't love you more than he or less than he did yesterday. Do you understand? God doesn't change. He never changes. There's not... God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. The God of the Old Testament is the God of all grace, the God of all comfort, the God of all love, just as he is in the New Testament. Yes, if that's not true, then the word of God is not true. See, the Bible says in Malachi 3:6, he says that I am the Lord God. I do not change. He never changes. Hebrews 13:8. You know, you don't think these things are for today. Well, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He had all this power in the New Testament, but I'm sorry, the New Testament is closed. The Apostle John is dead. All the gifts have passed away. You know what I'm saying? Come on. No, Jesus hasn't lost his power. He hasn't lost anything. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the smiting stone, if you will. No, I look and I say, oh God, you're so good. He doesn't gain new powers or lose what he has. Even though there are those today, pastors and colleges, Bible college and so forth, they say that the gifts and miracles are gone. The Bible doesn't say that. And the Bible doesn't teach that. Listen to me. The unchangeableness of our Lord is the guarantee and the certainty of his help. Amen? Now, let me go back now to where I began. I said it would be very easy for me to say to you this morning, okay, here's the 2016 word for this year. Ebenezer, the stone of help. And you know what? If I said that, I would be absolutely true. And so forth. 2016, the year of God's help. I would be safe because we know, like I said earlier, every second, every minute, whatever, God is helping us. I know that I'd be teaching sound doctrine, and you know, one could dispute it. But on December 2nd, the Wednesday night service, I felt the Lord gave me the word for this year, and he did, but I didn't understand it. So on December the 18th, during my, you know, I love my early morning walks. That's when I get out at 5:35, whenever, sometimes 6, when it's cold, and you know, or in the summer, it's early. But I go on my power walks, you know what I'm saying? And that's when I pray. That's when I talk to the Lord. You know, and on that morning, something happened. Do you believe that prayer is more than just a monologue? Prayer is a dialogue. Amen? It's just not, oh, Lord, here I am. I love you. I praise you. Now, I'm going to give you a list of all the things that are wrong with everybody else, and they need your help. And here's my list too, Lord. And it's like the Lord says, hey, Bill, I already know all those things. You know, can I talk just for a minute? You know, we're so busy telling God what we need, what we want, and all the rest of it. We don't ever wait on the Lord. Do you understand? Do you know that God wants to speak to our hearts? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Amen? In other words, he talks. Through the word of God, through the spirit of God. Now, so there I was, and I was praying, and all of a sudden, as I was on the downhill, boy, that's the one I love because I'm really moving then, and the Lord spoke to me. The Holy Spirit asked me a question. He said, did you notice, and I'm not saying I heard anything audibly, although I think that could be possible, but the Holy Spirit said, did you notice there in 1 Samuel chapter 7 how I helped the children of Israel? And I said, well, yeah, you you killed the Philistines or whatnot. He said, how did I help them? What did I do? So I went and looked there. And of course, in verse 10, it tells you, what did the Lord do? He thundered. He thundered from heaven. He caused a panic, if you will, there with all the Philistines, and they were totally consumed and defeated. And then all of a sudden, I was getting it. I said, okay, the children of Israel, they heard your help. The Lord thundered. Then they seen your help because the Philistines were all confused. So his help was made seen. It was manifested. It was made visible to Israel. I wonder if that is for today. You know what the Lord, listen to me, 2016 is the year of God's manifested help. When I saw that, I said, oh Lord, you mean you're going to make your help visible? You're going to make your help seen? And I started saying, oh God, how good you are. Now listen to me carefully. I will not define what I just said because I don't know. I don't know what that means. I only know it will be unique to the individual, the one who loves the Lord, and unique to the situation that that individual is experiencing. You know, to see God's actual helping you, the miraculous, the here-ness, the now-ness of God right in your midst. You know, I talked to a person right after Christmas, and they told me, they said, Bill, a person hit our car. Make a long story short, the insurance didn't pay as what we expected it to pay, so we couldn't buy another car. And they said, there we were in the house one night. We just all of a sudden heard a knock on the door, and we opened the door. There's no one there. And I said, well, what happened then? They said, well, we opened it. We looked, and nobody out there. I said, and then we looked on the door, and there was a sticky note. You know what a sticky note is, right? No? Okay. Yeah, you know, they stick to the door. They're yellow or pink or something. And on it, there was something written. It said, go to your mailbox. So they go out to their mailbox, and there's an envelope in that mailbox. And inside that envelope is cash, which gave them enough to buy the car that was needed. Now, I don't know about you, but that's help. Amen. And I think about what the things that God's doing. The reason I told you that story is because, see, I don't know what it means when God says, you know what, I'm going to manifest my help. I'm going to make it visible. It has to be unique to you, me, and all the rest. But I do know that's a word for me. And I believe it's a word for you because God is no respecter of persons. Amen. And I think, Lord, so this year is going to be the year, not of just your help. You're always helping us, but you're going to allow us to maybe see how you're helping us. And I said, oh God, you're so good. And then I asked another question. I said, Lord, if that is the case, if that's what you're going to do, what does that mean to us in Calvary Chapel in 2016? I mean, when God gives a visual, what's it for? Why does God give us a visual? Whenever the children of Israel were going to cross out of the wilderness into the promised land, Joshua, remember what the Lord did. He said, you know, get the Ark of the Covenant. Let the Ark and the priests go before. And when they step into the water, what did the Lord do? He backed up the Jordan. How far? 20 miles all the way to the city of Adam. And it says it stood up like a wall. And then the children of Israel crossed over into the promised land, into the land of their inheritance. Now listen, what did Joshua do? Joshua went out there and he sent someone to get 12 stones out of the Jordan because it was dried up. He said, I'm going to make a monument. He made this monument of remembrance to God. And he said to the children of Israel, don't you ever forget what God did for you. Amen. Don't you ever, ever forget what the Lord is doing right there in your midst. I'm going to ask you a question. You know, if the Lord in 2016 is all of a sudden in some of our lives, if he's going to let us see how he's helping, where we see these things, he's doing that for a reason. It means he's increasing our faith. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Do you think when Hezekiah saw the sundial going backwards, Do you think that increased his faith? Do you think that he said in his heart, I have a God. I have a God that can do anything. There, I have a God that there's nothing to. He just moved the sun for me or the earth for me, whichever one it was. Are you listening to me? See, we read these things like they're just some kind of old fairy tales, and they're not. They're real. The manifested, visible presence of the living God working on our behalf, showing us how he's doing those things. Listen, had I been Elijah and I was surrounded, all of a sudden those birds were dropping meat and bread in my hand, I'd go, praise the Lord. Think about that for a moment. Day, morning, and evening, I look and I say, oh Lord, if an angel had walked in and gotten me out of prison, praise God. Why does God do those things? He just tells us those stories. So we say, well, look what God did. No, he increases our faith. He says, I want to increase your faith. No different than what we call doubting Thomas, although he wasn't doubting Thomas because he would have died for the Lord. He had been away from the other apostles. You know the story. And Jesus, the risen Christ, was there. He walked into the upper room or went into the room where they were there. And Thomas had not seen the Lord yet. It had been 8 days. And Thomas was there in the room. And Jesus looks right at him and says, peace. He says, Thomas, listen, get your finger, put it in my hand, put it in my side, whatever. But don't be faithless, but be believing. Amen. Why did he do that to Thomas? To correct him? No. He did it to increase his faith. That's what God always wants to do. Listen, you know, your father, my father, wants us to know that we have a God that nothing is impossible to. Amen? There's not anything too hard for our Lord. So what does it mean then? Well, number one, he's increasing our faith, no doubt, this year. But then I said, well, why are you increasing our faith? Well, faith is what pleases God. Amen? But more than that, it could be like Joshua, like the Lord told Joshua before they were getting ready to cross over. Remember what he told him? He said, Joshua, y'all, you guys, the children of Israel, you're getting ready to go into a place that you have never known before. A new place, a new time. Maybe we're in a new season. Maybe the Lord really is drawing nigh. Maybe it is time to see what God is about to do on this planet. Amen? See, we don't know that we have a whole year that's still in front of us. Or it could be that I have found every time that God increases my faith, an attack comes. Always. It could be that this year there's going to be trouble like we've never seen. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I pray it doesn't. But if it does, if trouble does come, what does God tell us in the midst of the trouble? What does he say? Again, I quoted it earlier, Psalm 46, 1 and 2. It says that the Lord, he's a very present help in time of trouble. He's a present help. He's there in the midst of the trouble. Except this year, for some reason, to some of us, he is going to manifest his visible help. We're going to see how he is helping us. So now that you believe the cheese has really slid off the cracker, God's never been wrong. He has never been wrong. I told you earlier, all the new year, go back and look at the, he's never been wrong. You know, in 2015, the year of divine determination, his divine determination living in our hearts. Boy, I get five or six sermons just on that. I would not be standing in this pulpit today had the Lord not given me that word. That was the word that I lived on, meditated on, and fed on every day in 2015. And I'll tell you this. I am glad that it has passed into the night. And I do not look back, but I look ahead. Amen. But I'm so thankful for God when he gives me a word to live on. Amen. Now I look and I say, Lord, your divine help. So what are we going to do? Well, look at verse 6 there. It says, and so they gathered together at Mizpah. They drew water. They went on there, but they gathered together something. Where at Mizpah? You know what the word Mizpah means? It means watchtower. There's Samuel setting up the stone of help, Ebenezer, between the watchtower and Shin. Shin means a crag, a pointed rock or something, a tooth, if you will, sharp. There he is, and he's setting it up. And he looks over to the watchtower. What does that mean? It means that we must be watching, we must be expecting in 2016 to see the manifestation of God's help. Amen? We must be prepared for it. You say, well, Bill, how in the world are we going to do that? How do we enter into what you call it, the mitzvah, the whatever it is, the watchtower? I'm glad that you asked me that, because verses 3-5 tell us exactly how to do that. What did God what God told Israel is good enough for the New Covenant church, the New Testament church today. The first thing he did in verses 3-5, he said to do something. He said, I want you to return to the Lord. Return to the Lord with all of your heart. Boy, is that a good word for this year? And you, Bill, I'm not far away from the Lord. Well, how far away are you? He says, you return with the Lord, not with some of your heart. Return to the Lord with all of your heart. You see, God wants all of us, not part of us. Amen? God is a jealous God. He's not going to share you with anybody. So number one, how do we get up into the watchtower and really be expectant to see these things come about? Well, we got to return to the Lord. We have to say, Lord, here I am. The second thing we have to do is to put away. Now, them, it would be the idols. But we're not going to carve out an idol and worship it and so forth, you know? No, we put away anything that exalts itself in our lives above Jesus Christ. Amen? Say, you know what? No, I'm putting it away. I don't want it. I'm not gonna traffic in that area. I belong to the Lord. The next thing that we have to do is keep our hearts prepared for the Lord. Not prepared for this world, but prepared for the Lord Jesus, so he can sit upon the throne of our heart and he can speak to us, or we hear him clearly. We prepare our hearts. The next thing we do is that we serve the Lord only. Say, Lord, you're the only person I bow down to. You're the only person that I serve. That means that you get involved with God's plan and God's purposes while we have time in 2016. Don't get to the end of your life and be like the children of Israel, 20 years of wasted living. I did nothing for the Lord. You know what? Do you know what? I don't mean this critically. And there's nothing wrong with pastors who do this. Nothing wrong at all. Do you know what normally takes place on the first Sunday of every year? Stewardship. Okay? Am I right, Daryl? Pastor Daryl? Stewardship giving. Well, would you like me to talk about that? I've never done that. I'm not condemning any pastor that does. But that's basic. It's stewardship time. We've got a year in front of us. There's nothing wrong with that. But I look here and I say, God, you're telling us what to do. It's right there in your word. We have everything that we need. So if we do those things by his grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength, if we do those things, what can we expect in 2016? Look at verse 13. Here's what we can expect. It says the Philistines were subdued. That's their enemies. They did not come anymore into the territory. The reason? The hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. In other words, God kept helping them. Then the cities of the Philistines which were taken were what? Restored to Israel. And Israel recovered his territory. Also, there was peace. There was peace. Now listen, all that was lost through their sin, God restored through repentance. That's called the grace of God. Listen, our King is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is our true Ebenezer. Amen? He is our stone of help. He is the smiting stone. He is our rock. He's a precious stone, the tried stone. He's a chief cornerstone. And here he is. He's saying, this is your year, Calvary Chapel. This is your year to see, to witness, because I need to increase your faith. I'm taking you where you've never been before in your lives, not just here at Calvary. He's saying, I want to make my help visible to you. I want to help you. Why? Because I want you to recover what you've lost. I want you to be restored what you lost in 2015 and 2014 and 20. Are you listening to me? Listen, something, when you recover something and you restore something to yourself, can that be seen? Can it be seen? Yes. Peace, the third thing. Peace is something that, number one, is experienced, but number two, can be felt. Amen? Is there anything greater than having peace? You lay your head down in peace. You wake up in peace. You work in peace. Even though your enemies are surrounding you, your eyes are open because, you know what, there's more for us than there are against us. Why? God says, open your eyes. Open your eyes right now. I'll open them for you if you'll only believe. This year, 2016, the manifested, made visible help of the living God in our lives, the manifested presence of God. You say, well, Bill, why in the world can I expect any kind of victory like you're talking about right now? The same reason that Israel experienced victory, we have more. Well, what do you mean? Look at verse 9. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb, that's an unweaned lamb, if you will, and offered it as a what? Whole burnt offering to the Lord. Whole burnt offering means complete dedication. I'm burned up for the Lord. Who is our burnt offering? Jesus. Jesus is. He dedicated his whole life, everything for us. They won because of the sacrifice of the lamb. Our lamb has already been sacrificed. Amen. We have a better mediator, better covenant. We have Jesus Christ. He is our great and high priest. He's, behold, the Lamb of God. John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Listen, as they were offering up, right then, as the lamb was being offered up as a burnt offering, God did something only after that offering. Now our lamb has already been slaughtered and slain on the cross. He's seated at the right hand of God. Amen. Now listen, he says, I'm here to help you. Remember it says that he ever liveth to make intercession for you. The Bible says that our great high priest, he is sympathetic. He knows what's going on. He's not cold or calculated. It says that he comes to give us aid in the time of temptation or whatever we're facing in our life. Well, if he's coming to give aid, that means he's coming to give help. But that help is going to be seen to some of us. And I say, Lord, that's why we can expect the victory. It's because of the Lamb. Because of our Savior who took our place and died in our place. Amen. Took our sin. Oh, took our suffering, our shame, our guilt, all of it. Isaiah 41:14 says, it says, I will help you, saith the Lord. I will help you. We have an incredible year in front of us if you will only believe. Go to your watchtower and be expectant. Waiting upon. So when you walk into that trouble, say, I'm getting ready to see the help of God. I'm getting ready to see it. And you may say, oh, you know, God's never helped me. Really? He's never helped you at all? No. Is that you? Are you here? God's never helped you? He's never helped me to lie down in green pastures. Really? He's never led me beside the still waters? Wow. That's pretty sad. He's never restored my soul. Really? Okay. I can assure you my cup's not running over. It's not. Goodness of mercy has never followed me in never one moment in my life. But if that is you, if you could say that right now in your heart, that means you're not born from above. It means you're not a believer. It means you're not a Christian. It means that you don't have the good shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep as your Savior. The one who loves you, the one who died for you, who wants to help you now escape hell and live in heaven with him forever and ever and ever. You need to come to Christ. You need to come to Christ. He has to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. 2016, the year of God's manifested help. His help will be seen. His help will be made visible to some of us. I'm opening my eyes. I'm looking. I'm waiting. I know it's going to happen. Let me give you one other scripture, and I know it's time to go home or to Luby's or wherever you happen to go and suffer at, but I can't try and remember the scripture. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, I've been a pastor a long time, and I hear that same scripture there used at funeral after funeral after funeral. And I'm not being critical of that, except it has nothing to do with death. It has to do with living. It has nothing to do with the by and by, but the now and now. Listen to what he says. And Paul, the apostle, goes on. He says, oh, yeah, eyes not seen, ears not heard, or entered the heart. Yeah, yeah, all those things that God's prepared. But listen, but God has revealed, manifested, made real, made visible. God has revealed them to us. How? Through the Spirit, through His Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Listen, God wants to show you the deep things that He has prepared for you in 2016. But you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to say, Lord, You are indeed our Ebenezer. We erect a monument to You, not an idol. You understand? Not, well, it's an idol. No, that's not it. A monument for what? Say, I will never forget that You're going to help me. I'll never forget that this year that You're going to, as I raise that monument up, Lord, that I'm going to remember every day. I don't care if I'm at the office, the school, the high school, at work, at play, whatever it is, at home. I sound like Billy Graham. Sound like Billy Graham, yes. At home, okay, that He's going to what? He's helping me. His help will be seen. His help will be made visible. I'm not defining it again. I'm not declaring what it's going to be. But I believe it and know that in my heart, with all my heart. God is never wrong. Father, I thank You in Jesus' name. I thank You that there's no one like You. I thank You that this morning, oh God, we raise a monument in Your midst as we look to the throne of grace, the place of all help, the place of all grace. We lift that monument to You, that stone, Ebenezer, the stone of help. And we believe, oh God, with all of our hearts, we know You're helping us every day. But Lord, as You increase our faith this year, You'll make Your help visible in our marriages, in our finances, healings in our body, directions, wisdom, guidance. We'll see it. We'll have the eye of faith. Lord, open the eyes of this church as Elijah prayed for his servant. And Lord, You open his eyes. Open our eyes today that we may see and have sight to see the unseen. That we can say there is no one like our God. Oh, will there be a mighty move of Your presence here in our midst that we may worship You in the beauty of Your holiness, oh God. Let every heart that doubts, let every evil heart of unbelief be extinguished and broken right this minute. And let that living heart of Christ, the heart that believes all things, the heart that hopes all things, the heart that endures all things, love never fails. Open our hearts, oh God. Let Your help now be seen in the place we call Calvary Fort Worth. We love You. We praise You in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet.